All right, hello everybody, and welcome once again to another team feature here at Proudmouth. Today we're interviewing Patrice. Patrice is one of the voice talents that we have. She's a host, a co-host, and she also helps do the coaching program here to make sure that you're going to be the best you can possibly be behind the microphone. I'm just going to have an opportunity to ask Patrice a couple of questions to make sure that you all get a better chance to get to know who she is, because there's a chance that even if you aren't assigned to work with her already and you're just kind of kicking the tires of what we do here at Proudmouth, maybe by listening to this amazing human being that you have potentially in your corner will convince you even more that we're the right fit for you. So Patrice,
you're assuming I'm going to answer the questions.
Well, you better answer the questions, or we're going to take number two and we'll take number three and we'll keep doing that. All right, let's talk about your day. I really liked this question, and just full disclosure, everybody, we didn't come up with these questions. Our team did. And these are the sorts of things that our team wanted you all to know about who they are and what it's like to exist on this side of the organization. And the first question is, you know, what does your day look like as a host for Proudmouth?
Usually the day before is when everything starts, because I'd like to email clients and make sure that they're still on board for their recording scheduled time the following day. So I'll send out those emails and say, do you have a guest? Do you have notes? What are we doing here? If you haven't already emailed me, I'll get that stuff back. And that's when I sit down and I start writing. If they need an intro, write the intro, get an idea of who their guest is, get an idea. If they don't have a guest, what is it they want to talk about? So that's actually the day before. And then that morning I'll go into the office, sit down, get everything organized, see if there are any stragglers who did not answer me the first day, which is very annoying, and get things organized. And then it's hit the road. I mean, hit the desk, hit the recording, whatever. Client after client. Some days are very packed. Some days are not so packed. But it's never a dull moment.
Okay, so we talked about your mental preparation and organization. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what you do physically as a professional voice person, which you have been for a really long time. What do you do to keep your intimate? So if you have four interviews, that's a lot of interviews, right? Sometimes you've had more than that, right? I know that. And so if you're pushing past four, your instrument could get tired. What do you do to make sure that stays?
You know, something, or it doesn't, because you got to remember, I have done stuff like this for many, many years. And that meant being on the air for 8 hours at a time. So I, you know, it's, if I find I'm getting tired, it's go grab a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But my voice does not generally give out unless, actually, when you're getting a cold, you sound great. That is the best time to record anything, people. That's, you just keep going.
Yeah.
Of course, you do get yourself warmed up at the beginning of the day. You do some singing, you do some yelling. And when you're walking the dog, people look at you and just wave and say, good morning, and keep it on going. But yeah, it's all keeping right. It warm.
Why are you here? I mean, what have we done, and what do you like about working here at Proudmouth?
I like it because I can use a lot of the skills that I used in radio. I have not gone stale. I learn new stuff. I am forced to learn new stuff because the staff is so smart here, so savvy. And I sit down and go, tell the old lady how to do it again. Okay, please. Google Docs. Yes, Google Docs. Love Google Docs. Now, I do. The staff is so smart. And I feel I'm constantly learning. I'm meeting great people. I'm using, like I said, the skills that I have. And I'm energized.
What does your workspace look like? I don't know if I've said this yet on these team features, but we're an entirely virtual company. And so everybody gets to create their own work environment. What is your work environment? What does your desk look like?
Well, it's small, cluttered. I have sticky notes all over. I'm not quite that savvy when it comes to technology, so I have sticky notes. I can pull them off and throw them out when I get angry. I have a cup of cold coffee, which is normal, which I don't drink. I get rid of that. Or tea, pads of paper, pencils. Because when I'm interviewing somebody or they're doing an interview of their own, I will have a sticky note and a pencil, and I make edit notes when they cough or when they say, I want to do that again. Fine and dandy, you do that. So I have little sticky notes with all the edit points on them that I then enter into the system, so our crack editing team knows how to clean things up. So I've got that. And
okay.
And of course, my phone.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which you should always remember to turn off before you start recording. Which we've all learned.
I know. And the funny part, they're right in the middle of saying something super smart. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, and the worst part is when they have their ringtone turned on and it's something that is sometimes laughingly not appropriate. Love that. I know our editing team loves that too. Do you just, I mean, do you have, you know, are you a tea with honey? Do you have room temperature water laying around? I mean, besides cold coffee, which I think everybody, I have had cold coffee on my desk until up until about an hour ago. What else? I mean, what do you do to keep the blah, 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 blah?
Water, or I do like hot tea.
Okay.
I do like hot tea. I'm know the rule is not to put sugar in it, but I put some sugar in it. Yeah. I have to, but it's constant comment tea.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a honey guy with the tea. Like any, it doesn't matter how sweet the tea is, I still put honey in it, which, you know, I've heard is not the right thing to do, but I'm not British, so screw them. All right.
They put milk in their honey. I mean, their tea. Oof. No.
Yeah, we could go off on that for a few minutes. All right, let's talk about books. Right. So what are some of the books that have made a lasting impact on you that, like, that your go-to reads, both either personally or professionally?
I have always liked science fiction and fantasy. So anything science fiction, Isaac Asimov was one of my first faves. But I do like anything that pushes the envelope. I think I noted in my answers to these questions, to give you a little insight, that Bram Stoker's Dracula, I will never, ever read that alone again. I was living in an old farmhouse in upstate New York, and I made the mistake of reading that. Never again. No. So well written. So well written. But things like I said, Isaac Asimov, fairy tales. But then there's things like Gates of Fire, Stephen Pressfield. Incredible. Every time I flew for 2 years, I took that book with me because I could get so engrossed in it every time on the plane. Didn't matter how long the flight was. Oh. And then other things like, well, Lost Horizon, James Hilton. That's an all-time fave too. So you name it. I'll read it.
Does that passion for repetition also apply to television and movies? Are there TV shows and movies that you're like, you just watch over and over again?
Well, TV, think of Star Trek, you know. Star Trek, the original series, DS9, Next Gen, of course. Yeah. Probably the best one, although DS9 is very good too. Yeah. Movies, Star Wars. You know what? They keep showing up, I guess, because it's the beginning of baseball season, or we're into baseball season. A League of Their Own. What a great movie that is.
And that's a go-to, right? If you just need a great movie with great personalities and actresses.
And acting, and it's just,
I know, love it.
Yeah. And then old time, I was thinking of this not too long ago, Brigadoon. Do you remember seeing that old musical?
I was in that musical in high school, but that's a totally different conversation.
I don't think they filmed that one.
Thank God they didn't, because it was so bad. Well, okay, so what else sci-fi? So I mean, are there anything outside of Star Trek? Are you a Star Wars fan? Are you an
alien? Star Wars.
Yeah, okay.
Star Wars, but the early stuff, the later stuff, it just gets, it's old. It needs some kind of reboot, and I'm not sure that they've found their formula yet.
Okay. Or are they putting money into that? What is your most used emoji?
I hate emojis.
Really?
I do. I'm using them now because our crack staff loves them. So I've learned to love some of them. But to be honest, I would rather get a word or two back instead of an emoji. But the high five is good. The heart is always nice, you know, the heart. That's always nice. What do you like?
I didn't even know this was one of the questions, Patrice, to be really honest. Now that you said that, I'm thinking, because, you know, when you ask a question, part of you becomes reflective. And and then when you said you hate emojis, I'm like, oh my goodness, do I hate emojis? And so anyway, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if
everybody, it's easy to throw up a heart. Boop.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to throw up a yes. Of course, I do it all the time now too, but.
You know, you do. In our team chats, you're pretty emojish. Okay.
Yeah. But it's only the same ones if you notice.
Really? I think some of them are utterly ridiculous. So I lean on the utterly ridiculous. There's a dancing Grammy one that makes no sense. And I usually put that up. There's a raccoon.
Yeah, which I saw that too. I was like, really?
No, it doesn't make any sense. But I would rather not make any sense than, anyway, that's just me.
I believe in making sense in what I say online.
Well, surprisingly enough, that really leads us to the next question, which, you know, making sense and in making sure that, you know, you get to utilize the skills that you've honed over so many years. But what is it about the clients? What is it about, or what aspect of working with the clients are you like, that's my favorite thing?
The initial discovery calls, they're interesting. They're very interesting. You get to know people. Mm-hmm. The first episode, maybe the second episode, that's good. The best part is when you get past all that and you've broken the ice and they've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. Hey, we make mistakes. Definitely we do. Not many, but we do. But you become not maybe friends, but there's a camaraderie there. We're in this together. I want to make you sound great. You have the potential here. I will make you sound great. You will sound great. And a few of my clients have called me. They say, you're always talking about the sound. We don't sound very good. I said, I want to make you sound great.
That's a very important component of podcasting, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And I want you to sound, honest isn't the word, but that's a good word. Mm-hmm. I want you to sound genuine. I want you to sound genuine. That's it.
And as a host, you have done enough of these where you know when that happens. Oh, and yeah, that's when there's like some magic, right?
Oh, yes. Magic, not just for me, because I can sit there and go, oh, they did it. Okay. But for the client, realizes something is different. They may not realize it while they're doing it, but when the podcast is over, suddenly they go, oh, that was really good. You say, damn right, that was really good. You were really good. And I love those moments.
Let's talk about people who've gotten really good, or some of your success stories. Who, you can use names or not, by the way, that's totally compatible. We've already checked with people. It's fine if you want to use client specific names, but what are some of the things that excite you when you do that? Yes, when you know that that's happened, let's talk about some of the success stories that you've had being a host with our clients.
Wow. You know, it's kind of funny, but probably I get the happiest feeling when the client takes charge, when the client can say, this is my guest, I'm going to ask the questions and I'm going to do this. All right, then. So you fledge the nest there, go right ahead and do it. And I'll be here in case you fall flat on your face. And that can happen. And then we'll just redo it again until you get it right. But I love it when a client finally has the confidence, and it's not false confidence, it's real confidence to say, I can do this and I'm going to do the interview today. Is that okay? Of course it's okay. Of course it's okay. I do love that. It's, and to hear the really successful ones make their guests laugh. When they can do that, you know, well, you've done your job.
As we were talking about the team feature interview, I was asking you some of the questions that I actually didn't even realize that you had highlighted here about your technique, right? Because something that I want all of the listeners to know is there is a lot of skill that goes into getting you to the point of being able to be open enough and honest enough and genuine enough and authentic enough to really pull off a great podcast. And that was one of the things that you said is your greatest go-to technique to have people get their guard down. How do you do that though? So your answer here, make them laugh. You need to go deeper than that. How do you make them laugh? How do you find that thing that you know that they're going to giggle about? Help me with that.
It's going to vary from client to client, and it may not happen the first time around. You try to make it happen the first time around, but sometimes I fall flat on my face when I do that. And then I have to regroup and think, okay, that didn't work. Now, what else can we try? Think about ask them about their families, ask them about their home, ask them about their pets. Pets are always a winner. Mm-hmm. Ask them about the weather. Actually, this is my big go-to. When I'm having someone test their microphone, test their headsets, whatever it is, I tell them, tell me about the weather. Tell me about the weather where you are. Everyone can talk about the weather, no matter where you are. They can go on and on and on and on about the weather. And it gives me enough time to say, you sound great, or you suck. Come on, let's get back. We got to find something else. What are you using? But the weather, it's funny. You can connect through the weather. You can get them to laugh and say, well, yeah, we had one heck of a snowstorm there. And then it turned to 80 degrees and we had a hurricane. And it works. It works. You can laugh about the weather, except in Texas. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a little bit, we'll be able to laugh about that, but not right now yet.
No. And you have a halfway decent amount of Texas clients, don't you?
Yeah.
Not so.
Yeah, one of them really, he said they got through it all right, but they had questions for a few days there.
Yeah. Co-hosting is an actual skill. It is not something that you just don't throw somebody into it and say, here, you need to interview this person and so on and so forth. Where do you draw your inspiration for your technique or really what is your co-hosting foundation?
To make, again, the other person look great. If they look great, you look great. You learn to, I like to call it learning to dance. And it takes time. Yeah. You learn to dance with the other person. And at the beginning, you may be stepping on each other's toes. But after a while, you can sashay down the hallway and sound really, really good. But you want to make them sound good. They think they sound good. They will be comfortable. And hopefully they will reciprocate. And if they don't, you tell them later on, you know, I could have said a few things there, you know, and helped you along a little bit, but you didn't let me. Mm-hmm.
I get asked in the sales process this next question all the time, which is about solo casting, right? What do you think about solo casting coming from the world of radio for a while? What do you think about solo casting? And why do you generally err on the fact of having multiple voices on a podcast?
Yeah, you have to really be polished to do something by yourself. There are people who can. Oh my goodness, there are people who can. But you really have to be polished. In fact, I will not mention a name, but I just had a client who decided he was going to do the entire thing. Okay. I said, fine. It's a presentation. I've got the slides here. It's a presentation I've done many times. Okay. We redid it just to be very blunt about it.
Yeah.
He listened to it. He did it. I said, now I want you to listen to this. I pointed out a few things. I said, when you were doing this part, you were spot on. But here and here, listen, got an email back very shortly saying, I want to redo. Okay. So you can do it. But you have to be enthusiastic. You have to maintain that energy. You have to pace yourself as well. You have to know the topic inside and out. And in many cases they do. Mm-hmm. But it's not getting up in front of a room with a deck. It's not at all. You are not just speaking to people. You are basically, you're emoting through your voice. You have to capture them, you have to hold them, and you have to share movements with your voice. It's not an easy thing to do. Some people can eventually, and I wouldn't be surprised if we have a few people that will eventually grow to do that, but it will take coaching. Mm-hmm. Who let the dogs out?
Guess that's my neighbor.
Actually, that's so funny because one of my clients was telling a story. This is how we get to laugh. He was using his phone. Oh, I know what it was. We were doing the podcast and his phone went off, or rather his Siri went off. And it was, it's your lunchtime is now over. And he said, oh my God, I'm so sorry about that. You know, so we laughed and he said, let me tell you though, I had to take the dogs out the other night. And so I didn't forget. I set Siri up to play Who Let the Dogs Out? He said, I didn't realize I was going to be on a conference call at that time. And the thing went off.
Wow. Final question. How do you keep your voice sounding energized? And how do you keep your energy up when you have to do multiple podcasts a day?
That's a good question. I suppose I would say I go inside myself, because in radio, it is you speaking to, let's say, millions of people on the other side of the microphone, but it's only you and the microphone. And you have to, and you're talking to the host at the other end, whoever it may be. In this case, you're talking to your listeners, but you're thinking of one person, and you go inside, and that energy level is just there. You tap it. It don't let it go away. Don't, once you lose it, you can't get it back, at least for a while. So never let it go away. Have faith in yourself and just look for it. It's right there. Your energy's there.
Thanks for letting people get to know you.
You're welcome.